All right. Well, this morning I'm wrapping up my series on the summer road trip, and perfect timing with the Jesus Illinois group coming next week. And then actually the Sunday after VBS, I'm actually going to preach a message that lines up with what we're teaching all week at VBS. So if you know people who have kids, invite them, invite their kids to come to VBS. We're also going to invite those families to come Sunday morning. Okay, so I'm going to preach a message that goes along with what their kids learned all week. So when their kids are going home saying, hey, we learned this, we heard about this, that the parents are also, and you guys as well, if your kids are going, are going to get the same thing from your the adult perspective and how it applies to you and to your life. And so we're looking forward to that. It's going to be great. But today, as I wrap this up, you know, when you think about your road trip, when you think about a vacation, when you think about going somewhere, and you consider all of the things you would experience, okay, when we talked about the planning stage for your road trip, right, there's a lot of things that you take into account. You take in your lodging into account, and your activities that you're going to do, and where you're going to eat. And I know, at least for me, I rely heavily on the words of others, right? I like to look up reviews. I don't know if you guys are like that, but I'm not just going somewhere just because they got a nice sign out front. I want to know, what are other people saying? What are other people's experience? And so I'm a big fan of the app Yelp. Does anybody know what Yelp is? Right? You guys use that? If you know what it is, say Yelp. Right? It's kind of like, yep, it's close enough. All right, so if you don't know what that is, I suggest that you get it. It's a great app. Now, I'm not one who leaves a lot of reviews. I just feel like I'm not good at wording stuff where it's going to really, like, I don't know, I just don't do it. I'm like, eh, I just read what other people put. But I like to go on there and look at the Yelp reviews because, you know, you can look up, you know, what restaurants are around me. And some people are just good at marketing, right? So their restaurant might look great. They have great pictures of their food. They have great descriptions of their food. And have you ever went to a place like that that had good marketing? And then you're like, man, you have good marketing and you have terrible food. Right? You have good marketing and you have terrible service. You have good marketing, but really I think you just have somebody that, you know, you took the pictures, excuse me, you took pictures of what this food should look like, and then I don't know what in the world you brought me, but it's not what I saw in the pictures. And so what I like to see is, I like to see, what are other people saying? Who's actually been there? Because a lot of times businesses are not really what they say that they are. I want to believe them. I want to believe what I see, but I need some confirmation, right? I need somebody to tell me what I'm going to expect when I get there, because I want to see what other people experience so I can set my expectations for that experience. If one of my friends tells me, hey man, go to this place and order this food, it's amazing, I'm going to be like, okay, I will go and I will try that because I'm taking you at your word, and I set my expectation. Now, if it's not good, like he's not here today because I think he worked last night, but Rocky tried to tell me one time that the cheeseburger from Casey's was good. I did not believe him up front. I'm just telling you. I didn't believe it right from the get-go, but I was starving one day. Me and Xander were in the garage working on something, so I went to Casey's in a pinch, and I was like, I'm just going to grab that cheeseburger because he's been telling me it's good. It was terrible. It's exactly what you think you would get from a Casey's cheeseburger, okay? So some people give you recommendations, and you're like, yeah, see, you were wrong. It confirms that what I already thought, but really you like to go the other way. Tell me what is good, because here's the deal, is if the company, what they post looks good, and then on top of that, someone tells me that it's good, now when I go, I have an expectation, right? I'm excited about going there. I can't wait to try this and see, does it meet my expectations? Can I tell you that our faith journey works in a similar way? You can have an effect on someone else's faith journey based on what you tell them your experience is. Because here's the deal, right? We all have access to the scriptures. And the hope is that first someone would go to, okay, what does God say? What does his word say? What are in the scriptures And I'm going to read that, and I'm going to see what that says. But then after that, don't you want to hear from others? Don't you want to know what others have experienced? Because you're kind of afraid maybe you're not going to experience what it actually says. You guys ever been in that place? I know I've been in that place in my faith and different times in my walk. So ideally, someone would look into what God says. That's kind of like the research. That's kind of like looking up the business, looking up the place you're going to go to. But then if you want to know what it's all about and what it will actually be like, you need to know what the experiences of others are like. If I'm just reading the word, like for me in a mature place, when I read the word, I believe the word, okay? But there was a point in my life where just reading it wasn't enough for me. You guys ever been there? Just reading it wasn't enough. I needed a little bit something more. I was a little bit skeptical of, is that really the reality of what I'm going to experience in my life? Is that all really as good as what the Bible says that it will be? Is God really as good as what the Word says He will be? And so a lot of times taking the Bible and just reading it, it's kind of like reading the listing on Yelp, just reading what the business says. It looks good, but I want confirmation from someone who's been there and done that and experienced that. And so for us, that's where we come in. As the church, as believers, it's like we're the reviewers. We're the ones that are writing the posts saying, man, yes, I've been here. I ate this burger. It was as tasted as good as it looked. Believe me, what they say is true. Like, this is the place to be. This is the place to go. This is what you want if you're looking for a good burger. That's our job as believers, is to confirm that what God said about Himself is actually true. That's part of our job. Revelation 12:11, you guys probably have heard this a million times, but it says that they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Okay? They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Why do we need testimony? Here's what testimony does. Testimony disproves doubt. Testimony disproves doubt. To defeat the work of the devil, that right, the devil causes doubt in people. To defeat the work of the devil, we need to prove that God's word is true, right? Doubt is the enemy of faith. So when we speak about what God has done, we are provoking faith and we are defeating the enemy and his doubt. So what we know is that Jesus has already defeated the enemy. Somebody say amen. Right? He's already done that work. It's already been done. It's finalized. It is finished. And we know this because his resurrection was the evidence. Right? His resurrection was the proof that what he purchased on the cross, that payment was approved by the Father. And he was raised from the dead. The fact that he was raised from the dead proves that God accepted the sacrifice of Christ. We know that he defeated hell, death, and the grave, right? And so you and I overcome the enemy, first of all, by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Right? I mean, that's it. We defeat the enemy because we have the blood of the Lamb. We accept what Jesus has done for us. Listen, this is the key. This is where it all has to begin, is we have to accept that Jesus and his sacrifice, what he paid for on the cross, provides us with forgiveness and everlasting life. We have to accept that, okay? And we apply it to our lives by faith in him, okay? Right there, we defeat the enemy. Bam. Wouldn't it be great if that was just it? Wouldn't you guys love it if that's just all there was to it? Hallelujah. We defeated the enemy. We're walking in victory. That's it. I'm done. I don't have to do anything more, but here's the deal. There's an and to that. It says they defeated the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See, there's a second part to that, that it is a continual part that works through our lives. Why do we need the word of our testimony? I mean, isn't the blood of the Lamb more than enough? I mean, it is, right? the blood of the Lamb, it's more than enough. Of course it's more than enough. But then we have moments of doubt, which is an enemy of faith, right? We are victorious by the blood of the Lamb, and then we have the moments of doubt. Here they come. How many of you guys experience those moments of doubt? Possibly on a regular basis, right? That these continue to come. And so we need to come back to this place of testimony. What God said and what God has done, because this defeats doubt, which continually defeats the enemy. So here are some struggles to testimony. Okay? I know for most of you probably are thinking, oh man, I really hope this isn't going to be one of those really short sermons where then he starts handing out the mic and asks for testimonies, because I'm terrified to share my testimony, because my testimony's not that good, because my testimony's not going to be as good as somebody else's. It's not that powerful. I'm so worried to share it. Listen, have you ever thought that your testimony's not that powerful? You can just be honest. You just thought, like, well, I mean, I've heard some pretty amazing testimonies, and you know, mine's just, yeah, it's all right. Like, it's kind of average. It's kind of, you know, to the right person, maybe it means something, but especially to a group of believers, it's probably not going to be really that impressive. I think a lot of people think that way. I think a lot of people struggle to, unless you have some amazing, miraculous piece of your testimony that's unusual, you start to think that your testimony's not that great. I'm going to tell you why. I think the reason is we think too small when it comes to our testimony. We think too small. Let me tell you what your testimony is. It's just sharing your experience of what God has done. Okay, so it starts with our past experience. Okay, and this is the most common. This is where we normally come to when we think about our testimony. We share where we have been. Okay, now when you're on a road trip and you think about, you know, you go on a trip, most people, when they come back from their trip, what's the first thing they do? They start to tell everybody about what they did, about where they went. They'll post the pictures. They'll be like, we did this and that, and have some different things to update their friends and their family, and just kind of, here's what we did. Here's how it went. What are they doing? It's their testimony. This is my experience. This is what we experienced over the last week or the last couple weeks, and typically this is done right away, right? Within a day or two of the trip. Sometimes you'll have somebody that'll be like, man, I really forgot, and you know, we went on this trip a while back. But usually it's pretty quick. Right after the trip, here's my testimony. Here's what we experienced. While it's fresh, you bring it up, and then what happens? Like, do they continue to post about their trip on and on every day, every month, for years and years and years? Not usually. They usually do one big post. Here's our trip. Here's how great it was, and this is it. When do they bring it up again? Down the road, when somebody's like, hey, we were thinking about going to Branson, and I saw that you guys went there. Can you tell me a little bit about that, right? So then it starts to come back up, and then they're like, oh, yeah, we went there, and we did this, and we did that, and don't eat there, because that place isn't very good, but you want to go here, and you want to go to this show, and you don't want to do that, and you start to get excited about it again, right, when you're asked, and that testimony starts to come back up, and you start to get excited and pour it back out. But this is usually just when somebody is interested in going where they know that you have already been. It doesn't really happen that often, though, does it? So the memory of that testimony, the memory of that trip, it just kind of fades away. I think this is where we get stalled out with our faith testimony as well, because we treat it the same way. When somebody first gets saved, they tell everybody, don't they? They're like, man, you won't believe what God has done in my life. They get baptized. They show it to everybody, right? The evidence of what God has done in my life. I'm getting baptized to prove that I am now a follower of Christ. Something amazing happens, and they tell everybody. And then what do? It's like there's our big flash, just like posting on Facebook after a vacation. Here's what happened. And then it kind of goes back on the shelf until somebody asks us about it. Hey, wait a minute, you're a believer. I'm kind of interested in that. Can you tell me about it? Oh, well, let me tell you, right? And we get excited again. It comes back to us. What has God done? This is our past experience. What has God already done? 1 John 5:11, he tells us, he says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Let me tell you this morning, church, if that's all you have for a testimony, it's the best testimony that you can have. If that's all you have for a testimony is God saved me, I have eternal life in his Son, if that's all you got, that's all you need. Like, I think that we put this pressure on testimony, like, man, I don't have a testimony like I jumped off a bridge and hit my head on a rock and somehow I was dead for 3 days and I got raised to life. Like, praise God when that happens. It's amazing. But that's not everybody's testimony. But if you are a child of God, your testimony is that God has given you eternal life and that life is in his Son. That's all that you need. If that's all that you have, praise God, because that's where testimony begins. If you don't have that, you don't have testimony. Yeah, I mean, you got nothing. It doesn't matter how good the rest of your life is. It doesn't matter what you have and where you've been. This is the first overcoming of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. You have to be able to talk about that before you can talk about anything else, because this is the first of your testimony. You can't overcome the enemy without Jesus. Amen? You can't. It's impossible to overcome the enemy without Jesus. And you don't have a testimony worth sharing without Jesus. It starts with the blood of the Lamb. It starts with life in the Son of God. So every time we share what Jesus has done in our life, if we just share that he has given us life and life more abundantly, listen, we strike a blow to the enemy. We strike a blow to the enemy because the truth of God overcomes the lies of the enemy every time, every single time. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Church, this piece of the journey right here is where everybody can go. Right here, everybody can go here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Has anybody ever been ashamed of the gospel? I mean, at some point in your life? I mean, to be ashamed, it really just kind of means to be embarrassed by the gospel, to be embarrassed by the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people are embarrassed by their testimony. Listen, the gospel is just the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross to save you from your sin and was risen from the dead to give you everlasting life. That's the gospel. It's the good news that it's a free gift. Listen, we don't have to be embarrassed if you're just saved. If that's all you got, if you're just saved, listen, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be embarrassed if that's all you have, if that's all you feel like you have to your story. Praise God that you have that. Don't be embarrassed by it, because listen, that is the power of God for salvation. It's the power of God for salvation to who? Everyone who believes. And so you've got to be able to start there. Listen, a miraculous story about overcoming physical death might get you more listeners. But I'm going to tell you what, the power of God to save is the fact that you can say, I have life in his Son. That's where the power of God to save is. It's not in the miraculous, it's in the salvation. And so it's to everyone who believes. We have to share it. We have to tell what God has done. Romans 10:14. Now, then, how can they call on him who they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? I'm gonna give you a hint here. Preacher means testimony. It doesn't mean coming to a church service and hearing someone preach a prepared message. He's talking about how can they believe if they haven't heard, and how can they hear if nobody's telling? How can they hear if nobody's testifying? How can they hear that there's life in the Son of God if nobody is telling them that? This is on all of us here to share what God has done, to share our past experience. So that's usually what we think of with testimony. But I want to go a little bit deeper because I feel like there's so much more to testifying about what God has done. We have our present experience. Okay, some people don't wait till they get home from a road trip and post everything. They'll post every step of the way, right? We're now at this place doing this. We're now at this place eating this. We're staying here. Look at the pool, right? Like, they'll post step by step everything they're doing along their road trip. They'll update daily everything that you do, okay? But even if you're not that person, do you know that even if you don't testify publicly, if you're not putting it out there, everything that you're doing, you're probably doing it in other more private ways? I'm going to give you some examples. Have you ever been on a road trip and you gave a stranger some advice? Right? You can tell what they're trying to do and they look confused and you've already been there and done that and you're like, oh wait, you don't want to go that way. You're just going to get lost, or that's, you want to go around over there. That's actually where the line starts. You kind of give them some advice. You kind of point out, like, well, there's some parking back there. You point out that this is a good place to eat. This is some do's and don'ts, some things that I've learned, right? What are you doing? You're sharing present experiences. Like, I'm in this with you. We're doing the same thing, and I've got some advice for you. And so sometimes we're sharing the good, sometimes we're sharing the bad, but the thing is, we're sharing this faith journey with them. Whatever it is that we're doing, we're sharing it with them. And so with our faith journey, what is God doing? What is God doing right now in your life? It's take a step past salvation, and what is God actively currently doing in my life? Psalm 66:16, he says, come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. Right? We have this connection when we run into people who have been where we have been, or they're going where we're going. You ever been on vacation where it's like, everywhere you go, you see the same people? It's like, are they following me? Am I following them? Like, this is kind of weird. Like, I'm not really sure what's going on here. And if you're like me, at some point, you're just going to start talking to them. You're like, well, apparently we're spending the day together anyway. So I might as well get to know you a little bit and see if you're stalking me to kill me, or like if maybe we're going to be friends. But as you're doing these things with them and you're experiencing things with them, you begin to, okay, let's share a little bit, because there's some commonality there. It's the same way with our faith journey. Listen, as we go along our faith journey, people that we're connected with, that we're walking alongside, we begin to give each other advice on what we're experiencing, on where we're going, on what we're doing. What is Jesus up to in my life? What is he up to in your life? And listen, I didn't say, just share what's going wrong with your life. Listen, that's not testimony. Testimony is not just that I'm sick and I'm broke and I lost my job and like all the struggles in life. Let me tell you, what we need to focus on, what is God up to? What is God up to? Have you ever noticed that nobody has any trouble telling somebody what's wrong in their life? You guys ever notice that? Anybody will tell you how terrible their life is. Anybody. You ask around. Don't ask in here right now. We're not going to do that. But if you will go and ask somebody how their life is going, they will tell you everything that's going wrong. No questions asked. Okay? But what about if we were to share experiences on our road trip? We run into somebody and we seem to be going to the same places, and all we do is tell them about how terrible our trip is. What are they going to do? They're like, let's get away from those people. Right? We need to forge our own path here, because we seem to be going everywhere they're going, and their trip's horrible. I don't want that kind of trip. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for a good trip. We're here to enjoy it. We're here to do something fun, to have a good time, to have good memories. Let's get away from the people who are having the terrible trip. As a matter of fact, I'll turn around and I'll go the exact opposite way of where they're going. You see a parallel there with our faith journey? Whenever somebody gets around you as a Christian and all you have to say is how terrible your life is, does somebody want to, hey, well, I'm going with you. I'm going where you're going. This sounds fantastic. No, they're like, let's get away from them. That does not sound good. In fact, maybe we should go the opposite direction of where they're going. How damaging is that in our faith journey when we share how miserable we are? What kind of testimony is that? Listen, everybody has aspects of their life that are not going that well. We talked about that last week, right? About, you know, kind of the train track where you got like the good track and the bad track, and we're all going down it. We all got some good and some bad in our lives, but what are we going to focus on? Everyone has some aspects that aren't going that great, but listen, every day of your life may not be good, but there's something good in every day. That's what we got to know. Like, every day may not be good. You can have a bad day, but I can guarantee you and promise you that there's something good even in that bad day. And how much different is your day when you begin to look for those things that are good? You begin to focus on those things that are good and what God is doing. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been drug into testify, right? They're told they've been in prison. Don't preach the name of Jesus. Don't do this anymore. And this is what they say. Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We're unable. Church, they don't have the ability to stop speaking about God's goodness. Right here in the midst of all this trouble, they've been arrested for sharing the gospel. Sounds like a bad day, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I like the comfort of my own bed. I like the comfort of ordering Joe's, having an awesome young man deliver it to the house. It's great. I love those kinds of things, but I'm telling you, if I all of a sudden ended up in jail, I would say that I'm now having a bad day. Right? I'm now having a bad day. My day is no longer good. It's no longer comfortable because prison doesn't sound fun. Jail doesn't sound fun. Being pulled in front of the judge and having him shake his finger at me and tell me what I've done wrong, that does not sound fun anymore. My day is no longer a good day. But Peter and John, even in the midst of all this, they said, we can't stop talking about Jesus. Even in the midst of we're drug out here and we're being embarrassed and ridiculed by all of you people who know so much better than us, we just can't stop talking about Jesus. You notice they're not complaining about their circumstances. They're just like, hey, if you think we should listen to you instead of God, like, you guys can decide that. We can't stop talking about him. We just can't do it. We just can't do it. They weren't complaining about their testimony or about their circumstances because that's not much of a testimony. Doesn't everybody already do that? Saved or unsaved, they'll tell you how bad their day is. What kind of testimony is that for God? But Peter and John, see, they've been changed by Christ. And because they've been changed by Christ, and because the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in them, they testify of his goodness and how he is still working right there, right then, even in the midst of their trouble. We've got to share what God is doing today. We've got to share how God is working in our lives, that listen, maybe I'm going through some trouble, but I have peace. And then they're like, well, what do you mean you have peace? And be like, well, let me tell you, right? And it's a perfect segue to why do I have peace, right? This peace that surpasses understanding, right? It's not something that we can logically make sense of because it's not something natural. It's something supernatural, given by a supernatural God, right? So what is God doing even in the midst of our trouble in our present day? Listen, if you can't see it, pray. Ask God to show you his goodness. Ask him to show you where he's working in your life, because I promise you he is still working. So we have our past experiences, we have our present experiences, and then we have our future experience. Okay, when it comes to a road trip, once we've been there and done that, don't we start to already think about what we want to do next? I mean, don't we have that where it's like, all right, next time we're doing this, guys. Next time we're going here. Or even if I go back to that place, I've got some ideas of what we didn't get to do this time that I would like to do next time. So I want to expand the scope of what I'm going to do. And, you know, we went to the Grand Canyon, and we didn't have as much time as I would have liked, because I don't know about you guys, if you don't realize this, but finances are limited in our lives. Like, I mean, everybody'd like to just go take a month-long vacation and do everything you want, but sometimes you got to pick and choose. But I'm like, there are things that I didn't get to do that next time I would do this, this, and this. Maybe some things I did before I would do again. Maybe some things I would scrap and I would do something different. But I start to think about next time. Listen, I want to tell you this, that I have no idea when I'll go back there. Like, I don't have plans to go back to the Grand Canyon next year. It might be like 30 years from now. But I already have some ideas that if I go back, here are some things that I would do differently. I already have some ideas of some other things that I would like to do, other places I would like to go and what I would like to experience them. Listen, this is good because this is dreaming about and talking about experiences. Okay, these are good things. We'll do that with family planning. We'll do that with vacation planning. Shouldn't we do this with our faith journey? Shouldn't we begin to think about and dream about and plan about what we want to experience in our faith journey based on where we've been, based on what we know from God's word, based on what we know from the testimony of others? Shouldn't we be dreaming about and talking about what God is going to do, what's coming? Can I tell you that this is part of your testimony? Part of your testimony is believing in God for something that you've yet to experience. We like to say that that's prophesying, and sometimes that is prophesying, but I believe that it's also an important part of our testimony. What is God going to do? Maybe your road trip through life so far has been rough. Maybe as we've gone through this series and you've had some bad experiences, it hasn't gone the way that you planned. Maybe you've carried things that you shouldn't have carried, that you shouldn't have packed, that you shouldn't have brought along. Maybe your conversations haven't been good or fruitful and done what you want. Maybe you have found yourself to this place where you haven't really enjoyed the ride. Maybe you're like, So far I hear everything you've been saying, but I'm not there. I can't relate. It's been too hard. It's been too much of a struggle. Do you know that God is still working, and that as long as you're on the journey, that you still have a hope in a future? As long as you're still on the journey, you still have a hope in the future. As long as you have the blood of the Lamb and you're willing to use the word of your testimony to continually defeat the enemy, do you know that you still have a hope in the future? Do you know that God's still not done with you, with your journey? Do you know that faith changes everything? Do you know that your future journey could be better than the former? Do you know that things could turn around, that belief that the Holy Spirit is working in you because of the blood of the Lamb will lead you to look toward what God is going to do, what you haven't seen yet? Guys, that's faith. Faith is believing in what you have yet to see and looking at how God is going to work something out even if you don't see it. It's hard sometimes, but listen, this is faith. 1 Peter 3:15, he tells us, "But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy." Regard Christ, look at him as he is set apart, he is a cut above, he is different than everything and everybody else that you know. Regard him as holy, and then be ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Why do I believe that God is going to do something? Why do I believe that God has good for me? Listen, because of what he's done in the past, because of what he's doing right now, I have great hope for what he's going to do in my future. I believe that he's going to do something. I believe that things will turn around. I believe that things will change. I believe that my God is at work. Amen? I know Jesus. I know Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Right? I mean, that's a great start. I don't know about you, but if somebody's trusting in Buddha or Confucius or Allah or all these other ones, listen, they don't know him personally and he's not alive. Okay, so I got a jump start right now. I know Jesus. I know he's alive. Okay, I can go off of that and I know that he saves because he saved me. I know that he gives everlasting life because he gave it to me. I know that he is a redeemer, right? I know that he restores. I know that he heals. I know that he works miracles. Listen, I believe that my God is miraculous. I believe that my God works in the supernatural, and I believe that my God created this earth and he doesn't live within the rules and the laws of this earth. I know that he's supernatural and he can do miracles that don't make sense to man, that can defy all the laws of gravity and of science and all those other things. I know that my God is above all things. I know that my God knows all things. I know that Jesus loves me. Some of you need to grab a hold of that this morning. I know that he loves me. I know that he loves you. Listen, I know that he told me, I believe what he says is true, and he says he went to prepare a place for me. He went to prepare a place for me. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited to see what my room's going to look like. He went to prepare a place for me. I got my own spot, okay? I know that not only did he prepare a place for me in heaven, but I know he's coming back for his bride, which is the church. He's coming back, church. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter how dark this journey gets. It doesn't matter how hard this journey gets. Man, in James, he tells us that our life is, it's a vapor. It's like a mist. It's here and gone. It's no time. I know that I have eternity with him because he's coming back for his bride. And I'm going to be a part of that because of the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to continue to defeat the enemy by the word of my testimony. Listen, all of this right here helps me to know that he's not done yet. I don't know about you guys, but Jesus isn't done with my life. Is he done with yours? He's not done yet. I know that when I speak of these things, church, that this is testimony. It's speaking of my hope and my faith in him is testifying. It is giving glory to the name of Jesus. It overcomes the enemy of doubt and fear and question and uncertainty. It's critical that we share our experience from our faith journey. It's not just for everybody else, but it's also to remind ourselves. You ever look back on an old trip, an old vacation, and you think it really wasn't that good? There really wasn't that much to it, and then maybe it comes back up on Facebook, you know, 4 years ago on this date, you went here and you see a picture and you're like, oh man, I forgot about that. That was really good. Or you're at home and somebody in your family brings up something that happened on your trip and like, that was hilarious. I forgot all about that. And you start to relive it a little bit and you remember how amazing that it was. I think this is about how our faith journey is too. If we stop talking about it, we begin to kind of forget about how amazing it really is, about what God really is doing, about how much of an impact it really is having in our lives. And when we share what we experience, listen, it has an impact on the other people who hear our story. It does have an impact. It may influence what they decide to do. Listen, just like a road trip, when we went on our trip, we kind of modeled it after some friends of ours that had gone there. They told us what they had done, where they had gone, and we're like, okay, we're going to kind of model our trip after that. Did our trip look identical to theirs? No. We did some things a little differently. We took some different routes. We took some different paths, but we did model our trip after theirs because of the experience that they shared. And this is how our faith journey is too. We share how our journey is. We share about what we experience. Isn't our hope that somebody would say, you know what, I want to go where you're going. You know what, I want to know this Jesus. I know that my life's not going to look like yours. Listen, scrap that. Don't be trying to make your life look like somebody else's. It's not going to, and then you're going to see it as a failure. But you're still going to the same place, but your journey's going to look a little bit different. Just go and follow Jesus. We want to share about how our trip is because other people may model theirs after ours. But we've got to tell what God has done. Church, it starts right there. Telling what he has done. But we can't forget about the right here, right now. What are we experiencing in our life? What is God doing? And then we have to proclaim what we're believing in for the future. We have to proclaim what we're believing is. Can I tell you that God is faithful to his word? You guys realize that? If God said it, he will do it. That's a promise. That's what we're talking about Tuesday night at Bible study, the promises of God. What he said, he will do. That's a guarantee. Have you ever broken a promise? Yeah, I'll be there at 7, and 7 rolls around and you're not there. Right? God does not break his promises. When he gives a promise, it's a guarantee. It will happen, no doubt about it. And I'm going to tell you that when people begin to see what God is doing in your life, I mean, they can't deny what they're seeing. They can't deny the experiences when they see it with their own eyes. I want to show you, wrapping up here, in Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys know when they won't bow to the king, they go into the fire. They say, the king says what? There's a fourth man in the fire. We only sent 3 in. I see 4 people in there. And they come out the other side because Jesus was with them. They come out the other side. It says they not only was not a hair burnt on them, but they didn't even smell like smoke. You guys remember the people who put them in there died just from getting too close to the furnace? They died. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go through this fire. Not a burnt hair. They don't smell like smoke because Jesus was in there with them. And I want to show you what King Nebuchadnezzar says. Right after that, Daniel chapter 4, he says to the people, I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and the wonders the Most High God has done for me. Why does he say that? Because he saw what God did in the lives of those men that refused to bow down to him. They refused to turn their back on God and to follow man, just like Peter and John, when they said, is it better that I listen to you or God? You can decide, but I'm not going to quit talking about him. I'm not going to quit talking about him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, when we go into this fire, listen, our God will save us. He will save us. You're going to see, but even if he doesn't, we won't bow to you. But you're going to see. He will save us, and he did. And because they spoke of their experience, look, they were speaking of an experience in the future that had not yet happened, but they believed it as though it were true. And then it happened, and it changed the king's heart because he experienced what they had said. Listen, you don't have to overcome the enemy because Jesus already has, right? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, you receive it, and you overcome the enemy. Jesus has already done it. Our job is to talk about it. Our job is to talk about it. That's how we continue to refute that doubt, to refute those fears, to refute those lies of the enemy. Would you stand with me in this place? And this morning, listen, for many of you, I hope this has given you some freedom and some clarity in testimony. That your testimony is not, it's not a singular thing. It's not just, tell me an amazing salvation story. It just starts with salvation. But that testimony continues to build throughout your life into what God is doing right now in your life and to what you believe God is going to do in your future. That's all part of the story. It's all part of the journey. It's all part of this faith journey that we're on. It's all part of the testimony that continues to defeat the enemy every single time that we talk about Jesus. Every time. And so, Father, I just thank you and praise you for the people in this place. For those watching online, Lord, I thank you that we have a testimony if we have the blood of the Lamb. And so for right now, for every man, woman, and child who's yet to receive that Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd speak to their heart, that you'd show them your goodness, that you'd show them the love that you have for them, that you'd reveal to them their need for a Savior, and his name is Jesus, who came and died, who rose from the dead, who offers us new life that is only found in him. Lord, I pray that today that people would receive that blood of the Lamb, to overcome the enemy. But Lord, let us not stop right there. Let us be those that continue to overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony. Lord, would you give us that freedom in our mind that we don't have to fear that comparison? We don't have to fear that, is my story, is it good enough? Because if all we have is salvation through the Son of God, then it's all we need. Lord, that it starts right there. But help us to see what you're doing here and now. Open our eyes to the goodness of God in our life, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of tragedy. Help us to see your goodness so that we cannot be those that tell everybody about how bad our life is, but that we can tell people about how great our God is, even on the bad days. That we can see those good things, even on the bad days. Lord, and help us to be those that have a belief and a great hope, a great expectancy for a future with God. A future, Lord, that's not just in heaven one day, but what you're going to do when we leave here. What you're going to do tomorrow. What you're going to do next week, Lord, that we believe that you are for us and that you have great plans for our lives. Lord, that we're going to receive that healing that we need in our lives. We're going to receive that restoration of relationship that we long for in our lives, that we're going to have it. Lord, we're not going to be those that are going to speak as though it's not going to happen, but we're going to be those that are going to speak as though it's already done, that you have granted it, that you have given it, that you are working in a way that we can't see or recognize, but it's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to purpose in our lives because you are good and you are faithful and you are a keeper of your word. Lord, we pray right now for each person here, Lord, that we leave this place knowing that we have a great testimony. Lord, I got my testimony. I don't need somebody else's. I got mine. I know what you've done in my life. I know what you're going to do in my life, and I know that it's great. I know that it's incomparable, Lord, because it's my story. It's my story of what you've done. It's my story of how you're working in my life. And Lord, there's no greater story for me than the one that you have for me. There's no greater journey for me than the one that you have me on. And Lord, as long as I have you, Lord, what else do I need? I pray that be our heart's cry as we leave here today. Lord, as we enter back into worship for just a moment, I pray that you draw us close. I pray if there's any of that doubt or fear that's still hanging on, Lord, that you just begin to break that off and set us free. We want to be those free people that we were singing about. Lord, we are going to continue to speak of your goodness, to speak your praises, and continue to defeat the enemy with every single word. We give you glory and praise and honor, for you are good, and you are good all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.